Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 6. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The way that this passage unfolds is that he first of all challenges the Pharisees. Now, I can challenge you, you know, to live honorably, right? That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Challenging is not necessarily provocative. It's just evocative. It can evoke some emotions to try to get in there and do something. Well, he challenged them, and that's what he would have liked to have seen, for them to come across the line and join him, but they did not. They got worse and worse. So now he chooses disciples, and as he chooses them, he exercises a great deal of wisdom in his judging. Remember, the title of the message is Showing Judgment. Well, we see the wisdom of his judgment and what he did with these Pharisees. Now we're going to see the witness of his judgment, and that's what these men are going to represent. And as you see them, just know he picked them. You already know things about these men. You know some of their history from having read the rest of the Gospels, perhaps. And you can bring all that to bear. But he picks them, and one of them was a traitor. Did Jesus know it? Yeah, he did. He knew it. And interestingly enough, as he preaches now to his witnesses, what he's going to do is he's going to turn the entire Sermon on the Mount into a sermon on the plain, which is now personalized. Watch what happens. The Bible says that he came down in verse 17 with them and stood in the plain. Underline that, in the plain. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. This is the sermon in the plain. And it says, and the company of his disciples were with him, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea. Now, they're in Galilee. They're up in the northern region. So people from Jerusalem and Judea are all up here. And from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, that's off to the seacoast, off into the west, right up on the seacoast, Tyre and Sidon. And they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the Bible says in verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue, the word is dunamis, there went dynamic power out of him, and healed them all. See what I said about the whole landscape turning green from desert to forest? I mean, it's beautiful. This is what Jesus did. He healed them all. Now, I don't know what that would do to your faith if you were standing there when this happened, but I dare say you would have a greater faith than you could actually absorb and hold on to. I mean, we just saw a withered hand. That was a big deal. Goosebumps, man. Tears in your eyes. Man, Jesus is here. But this is crazy right here. Whoa! He healed them all. Because it's lawful to do good all the time. So what he's doing is these men are looking at him. They're watching him. They are the witnesses of judgment. Now, what was Jesus' judgment? I can and I will. Remember when this leper came? If you will, you can cleanse me of my leprosy. He said, I will be thou cleansed. Jesus is always willing to save. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's not willing that any should perish. But people dismiss. And what happens here is he's showing his great works to his disciples. There will be a point where he gives them the power to go do some of this stuff too. But here we're just watching them watch him. And they're standing there. It came down, all these people, they were healed. He healed them all. And verse 20 says, and he lifted up his eyes, look at this, on his disciples. There's a little controversy about whether this is the same sermon as Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But it's not the same sermon. That's my position, and I'll show you why. That sermon was a sermon to the general population about the way the kingdom works. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those that mourn over their sin because they're poor in spirit. They know they don't have anything. They hunger and thirst after righteousness and all that. Well, here what he does is he takes all of that and he turns it into a personalized message. Watch what he does. In verse 20, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and he said, blessed be ye poor. Now, he doesn't say in spirit because he doesn't need to. That's already been said. And he's looking at his disciples. They're the ones who really are poor in spirit. Remember what Peter said a chapter or so ago? He said, depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. The people he picked were people who were poor in spirit to be his apostles. And people who were truly his disciples are people who are poor in spirit. They're part of the kingdom. Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Does that mean that people who are poor in monetary terms automatically get into heaven free card? No. He's making it personal because it's like he's looking at his children, if you will. He's looking at his disciples. And it's like he's looking at the crowd and he says, "Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye that hunger now." Look at the word now. Okay? Is it not true that blessed are anybody who hungers and thirsts in any generation? Aren't they going to be filled? Yes. It's true. Look right in front of them. These guys are hungering and thirsting. What happened just now was they just witnessed everybody being healed. Everybody. People being delivered from demonic oppressions. And they watched that. They saw it. And it makes them want more. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now. That kind of answers to mourning. But I have to believe, because Jesus knows the traitors in the crowd, that there's a prophetic possibility here. Peter's going to weep and he's going to repent and he's going to be restored. I want you to know that he sees it all, right? He knows everything. The Bible says, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh." And he's really talking about those who are weeping over the persecution that's going to come. Weeping over the fact that Jesus is going to be crucified and they're all going to be scattered and they're all going to deny him that night. You see, this is a very short season. You know, 3 years is very quick, right? Jesus is only on the earth 3 years in his ministry, where he's open with his messiahship and all of the things that are going on. The Bible says, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh." You got to love that, the word laugh. Gelao is the word. It means literally a sign of joy or satisfaction. So they're going to go through a lot. They're going to laugh when it's all over, said and done. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, separate you, reproach you, cast you out, and name you as evil for the Son of Man's sake." You see the connective to the weeping, you know, because there's going to be some tears. He says, "Rejoice ye in that day," verse 23, "when you laugh." He says, "and leap for joy." Now, I remember in my mind's eye, Acts 5:41, where the Bible says, after they'd been beaten and told not to preach anymore in Jesus' name, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So they had listened to him, didn't they? So who's he teaching? He's teaching his apostles. But there's a lot of people here now that are all following and all learning. And he's saying, "Blessed are you guys." And the word "blessed" means to be congratulated. It means to be envied. You guys have got it going on, is what he's basically saying. And he says, you are the blessed ones. You are the ones who are walking around with a residue of the Spirit, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 23 goes on to say, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." This is why I believe he's really honing in primarily on his apostles, because he's comparing it to the prophets. They're going to kill these apostles, you know. Peter's going to be crucified upside down. I think it was Thomas who was drugged to death behind a chariot down in Africa. I mean, they killed him there. There's the cross of Andrew, which was kind of an X. Some were stoned with stones, you know. Of the 12 disciples, 11 of them are going to die martyrs' deaths. Only John is going to make it to the very end. And he will have been boiled with oil and survived it. Can you imagine? His entire body was probably a burn scar. They tried to kill him. He wouldn't die. He lived into his 90s, we are told. See, these guys are going to weep. These guys are going to have hurts. They're going to be disappointed when Judas does his thing, when they do their thing and they run and they abandon Jesus. Peter's going to be so broken because he denies Jesus literally 3 times out loud in front of people. This is going to be hard for them. And he's teaching them and he says, but you're going to laugh, because the reality is that that's exactly what they did to the prophets. Like throwing Jeremiah down into a cistern, like throwing Isaiah into a log and sawing him in half while he was alive. This is the kind of life that they have. This is the disciples' life. This is judgment being shown forth. And he's picked them. And that wisdom of his judgment and the witness to his judgment now has come into the work of his judgment. You see, the work of his judgment is, this is not easy. This is not for the faint of heart. This is not for the weak-kneed. You have to have a blue steel backbone to be a Christian. Now, you and I think, well, thank God I live in America. It's easy on me, man. I got it easy. No, no, there's some stuff down here for you to do, and I want to show you what it is. He goes on, he says, you're being treated like the prophets when this unfolds. And he says in verse 24, but woe unto you that are rich. Now he's kind of turned his eyes on the Pharisees who are standing in the crowd. This is personalized. This is nothing like this in Sermon on the Mount necessarily, because he's going to give a fourfold woe. He says, woe unto you that are full, you will be hungry. Woe unto you that laugh now, you will mourn and weep. Remember, they were crazy and they were dialeleo. They were communing on how they could do what they wished to Jesus. The word laleo means to speak. There's lego and then there's laleo. Laleo has a lyrical buoyancy to it. Isn't that interesting? They were dialeleo. They were excited. They saw him break the Sabbath again. And they thought, man, we're going to get him good. He says, you're laughing now. He says, woe unto you that laugh now. You will mourn and weep. Sounds a little bit like weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to be cast into outer darkness. Bible says in verse 26, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. You see how he went to teachers to teachers? So in a larger sense, he's kind of looking right at his disciples, I believe, and he's also looking at the Pharisees. These are the two kingdoms arranging themselves against each other. He turns his eyes back to his disciples, the ones that are going to be vilified, excluded. Verse 27 says, but I say unto you which hear. Underline that. You which hear. There's a lot of people who don't hear. They listen, but they don't hear. Bible says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because the reality is that sometimes people hear with a view to accusation, looking for a little something they can capture, looking for a way to mitigate their own sin so they don't have to bow the knee to Jesus. He says, woe be unto all those guys. But he says, now you, my disciples, he says, what I want to say to you is, love your enemies. He said, I'm not trying to stir you up to hate the Pharisees, the religiously confused. I'm not trying to get you to do that. He says, do good to them that hate you. Wait a minute. Really? And the word here for good is kalao. Do beautifully to them. Put yourself in a position where maybe through you, they can see me. Jesus did that, didn't he? He submitted himself to them. He put himself in a position where the truth would be on display. When he hung on the cross, if they were listening, and I dare say some of them were, they would have heard him say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You see, they couldn't hear that word as much. They're looking for a curse. They're looking for something bad. They're looking for things to accuse him by and to make themselves feel better. Let's lean. What is he saying? Remember, they gave him the sponge and they were trying to give him something to stupefy him. He didn't want it. And they say, wait a minute, listen, listen, he's going to say something. They were listening for him to say something. And what is he showing us? He's showing us the work of judgment. And his judgment was, these are souls. And his judgment was, they're to be pitied. They don't understand the danger they're in. They have completely succumbed to madness. The Bible says, bless them that curse you. In verse 28, he's teaching his disciples what it's going to cost, what the work's going to be. Unto him that smites you on one cheek, offer him the other. You know, you almost want to picture that in your mind as almost like as a provocation. You smote me on one. Go ahead and do it again. No, that's not the spirit. No. He says, he that smites you on one cheek, offer him the other. Just turn back and continue with the dove's eyes. Continue with the love in your eyes. Because that's your calling. That's my calling. You see, that's what Jesus did. The Bible says that a smoking flax he didn't quench, and a bruised reed he didn't break. There's always a little something in there. Do you know, after he was crucified and rose again, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit fell, and all those disciples were out preaching in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says 3,000 got saved and 5,000 got saved. But what was interesting is, if you notice, in chapter 6 it says many of the priests believed. Because these were people who were needing to be shaken awake. And his salvation that he had wrought through dying on the cross had shaken many of them awake.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.